broadcasting live from the West End Waltham in Boston, Massachusetts, for Vistage Executive Summit 2015. It's CEO exclusive. Now, here's your host, Soyini Koch.
Welcome to the Vistage Executive Summit 2015, broadcasting from Boston. And I'm pleased to welcome my guest host, Greg Michaels, who is a regional consultant with Vistage with me, and also our guest for this segment, Jason Krall, managing partner of Bank W Holdings. Jason and Greg, it's so awesome to have you on the show with me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jason, I would love for you to start off just to by telling us a little bit about what Bank W Holdings does.
Sure. Bank W Holdings is a management holding company. We have four recruiting and staffing firms in our portfolio. The founders of the company are all in the holding company, and we still work day-to-day in the three or four companies. We specialize in the areas of accounting and finance, information technology, administrative and HR, and sales.
And so tell us how your company's structured. Give us a sense of scale.
Sure. We have three offices. We focus strictly in New England. We have offices in New Hampshire and down close to Boston. We have about 110 employees, and each company works independently of each other, but they're all in the same corporate suite, so they do work together. We share clients and cross-sell opportunities back and forth to help clients based on the needs that they're hiring for.
First question that I love to ask my my CEO guests are, what are the trends in your industry and area of expertise that you think other middle market CEOs need to know about?
Sure. Well, we face the same challenges that our clients are facing right now, which is that hiring right now has gotten harder and harder over the last couple of years. The demand for talent has outstripped the supply. So it's a unique challenge for us because internally we're growing and expanding and need to hire, and it's been challenging for us. But it's also our core business is supplying talent to our clients, which is a great business opportunity for our firm because that's what we do for a living. So it's an interesting dichotomy of what we're up against every day.
In terms of being on the cutting edge, what's one decision that you're making trying to get ahead of where things are going?
Yeah, the word proactive comes to mind. Really what we've done, and by opening the four companies, kind of speaks to the strategy, is to specialize in one area, have a very deep concentration in a geographic territory, which for us is about 100 miles, and really know the players in that market, which is what we'd suggest to clients to do if they had the bandwidth to do that, which is to identify the key gaps in your organization is what type of talent you're looking for, and to always be proactively looking for networking in that area so that when the time comes to hire, you're not starting from scratch. And that's really the way we've designed the company into these four separate disciplines, where the people in our finance and accounting firm, about 30 of them, only network with accounting and finance professionals in about a 100-mile area around Boston.
So it's really interesting. You are in the people management business.
Correct.
And so every CEO is challenged by people. How to optimize their workforce, how to deal with incidents, that sort of thing. So you have a compound issue. It's people of people.
And correct.
So explain to us, how that people issue relates to you.
Well, again, we have a unique, understanding of this because we're a firm that has grown from three employees in 2005 to 110 employees over 10 years. So I feel like when I go out in a meeting and talk to a client, I'm actually internally facing the same scaling issues that a lot of our clients face. So, from a perspective point of view, we have a lot of the same problems, and we are trying to identify ways to solve them internally, which we then can turn around and help with our clients. And what I talk to clients about a lot is you really have a compounded issue or opportunity, which is the first piece is retention. Once you get talent into your company, you do have to work very hard on the retention piece. The second piece is the sourcing and identifying of talent, which means you have to be in parallel working on both of these strategies in your company. You have to have a very strong retention because you can do all the sourcing and interviewing and hiring you want. If you can't retain the people, it becomes extremely, not only costly to your company, but extremely disruptive to any kind of strategic planning you might have for your organization if you're trying to scale or grow.
And speak to us about retaining as it relates to culture. What are you doing at your company to foster the right culture, the one that's going to get you to the next level?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think there's an easy answer to that because everyone's industry is different. But I mean, there are certain core pieces that everyone looks for. You know, the easy to identify, making sure you benchmark compensation, making sure you're benchmarking benefits. You know, we go out every year. And again, we're in a unique position because I get to see the compensation and benefit structures of thousands of clients over the course of years because we're dealing with this as part of our business. So we can, from an internal standpoint, can benchmark where we are in the market very easily. Clients don't have the same luxury of knowing what 100 different companies in their market are doing as far as these benchmarks. So it's really important to have some sort of insight into what's going on both in your industry and both in the market at large. I think a mistake people make a lot of times is they look at the five competitors in their industry and they try to benchmark everything to that to those industry standards, but you're not necessarily hiring people out of your only industry. You may be hiring from a 30-mile radius around your company. They may have very different compensation, benefit, cultural standards at those companies that if you're not thinking about it, you become not competitive. You know, a good example would be if you were a nonprofit in downtown Boston and you were going to hire a senior finance executive, the compensation scale you might be paying may be benchmarked to the top 20 nonprofits in Boston, but you may be interviewing people out of the nonprofit sector. Well, are you competitive or not competitive at this point? And without knowing what your whole market is around you versus what's in your industry puts you at a deficit, so to speak, if you're not knowing the market around you.
And, you know, cultures form around leaders. And so tell us more about your leadership style. What kind of brand has developed in terms of your own style?
Well, I guess the best people to ask would be the people that work for us. But I mean, what we're trying to get done, what we're trying to accomplish is hiring very smart, talented, motivated people who, with as much limited guidance as we can give them, will follow their instincts, will follow a corporate infrastructure and a corporate operating model that we think is pretty well defined when people come in. But we really are hoping people will run their own mini business working for us. We really empower them to make a lot of business decisions on their own with follow-up from us, of course, because in the business we're in, there's a lot of factors that don't they're different than a lot of other companies. You know, at the end of the day, our products, so to speak, and I hate to put it in those terms, but if you're looking at us, if you were to org chart out our business and compare it to other industries, our product are people. You know, I think in most cases, if you own a company and you deliver coffee cups as your product, probably by the time you go to market, you have a delivery system that if someone brings you a PO for 1,000 coffee mugs, they show up. I'm in a business where I take an opening from a client and they're very strategic position within their firm and they give me the specs and I go back and I talk to my 110 recruiters and say, we have to help this client. I don't know when I take that opening if I'm going to be able to deliver on it from the day I take it to the time that we hopefully and luckily for us successfully fill it. So it's a very different business in the services space for us because we take openings not knowing where our product is going to be that day. And our inventory, quote unquote, changes literally every hour.
And speaking of delivering, can you give us a bullet point or a tangible piece you can pick amongst there's probably several to pick from where you've made an impact and you can see it?
Oh, sure. I mean, we have helped staff. I'll give an example. A client may have outsourced accounting while they were small and decided over time that they wanted to bring this function in-house. And we've started from the top and down to the bottom, filled an entire accounting department. Now, that fundamentally changes how a company gets information, analyzes that information, makes strategic decisions. That, for us, is exciting. And those relationships, you know, will usually carry on for years and years. We have clients that we have done work with since 2005 that still use us. We get to see the growth of their companies. We get to see what's changed, management turnover, you know, the awards and things they've received over the years and their growth. And to know that we've been a small part of that is exciting for us. There's no doubt that's a huge perk of the job.
And your own company has been growing very, very quickly.
We've had good growth.
Yeah, you've had great growth. How are you dealing with that growth internally?
By the seat of our pants. No, I mean, it's, again, I would put it akin to what you see a lot at the summit here today and from talking to people. I think a lot of clients that are scaling, which we are doing, run into the same issues. You know, you want to keep your core culture intact while doubling and tripling the size of your company. And there's just an inherent watering down of culture that you need to deal with every day when you empower new managers and people who run groups of people to keep the same fundamentals that we had in 2005 when there were, you know, we called it the three dummies sitting in a room, our partners, when we opened the company. And we say that fondly to each other. You know, it's a big difference when you go from three people in a room to five partners with a management team of 15 and 110 employees to keep that those kind of core fundamentals that we had when we opened that we think helped get us here when you're hiring a lot of people. And I think most companies at some point face that scaling issue.
So you talked about sort of drive, growing the company, keeping the culture. I mean, what drives you? What is that fundamental element or one of the fundamental elements that just keep you pressing forward?
Well, I'll tell you, we try not, this is going to be counterintuitive, we try not to focus on sales. We try to focus on delivering every time we get an opportunity, delivering on it the best we can. At the end of the day, the sales piece will absolutely work itself out. It's done it for 10 years. Over a 10-year period, including 2008, our organization has grown every year since 2005. And I would say for 7 out of those 10 years, we barely looked at top-line revenue. We looked at how many people we were hiring and how were we delivering on clients. We really look at the success rate of every time we get an opening, an opportunity to work with a client, how do we perform on it? If you focus on the delivery piece, the rest of the stuff works itself out. So for us, it's challenging because those are the metrics we want to beat every day. You know, how many clients can we help and what's our success factor? And then the follow-up, which is how do those people perform over 3 months, 6 months, a year, or longer?
And so you're here with, 250 other middle market CEOs.
Sure.
That are all, you know, growing their businesses and performing very well. What are two or three things that you are bringing to today that if you were backed by 200 CEOs and you could ask them anything, because you can,
right?
What are you going to use the day for?
Well, for us, it's really, again, to keep very current in what's happening in the market and also trends. You know, for us, we have to be current. When a client asks me, what is going on with X? I need to have some sort of information to help them. We're not just filling openings. In a lot of cases, we are sitting down with hiring managers, owners of companies, people in strategic roles, trying to solve problems. And we may not be at every staff meeting. I don't want to overplay that piece, but a lot of times they're asking us to help make a decision on what type of person they need and filling us in on what the goals are for that particular department or that particular person. So for us, we want to know what's going on in various industries, which here is a fantastic way to find out both what's working and quite candidly what's not working, which is almost just as valuable a lot of the time. So for me, it's identifying trends that are happening, and it's also to currently benchmark where people are hiring and what they're doing for their staff so I can deliver good information to my clients and say, listen, a lot of times we have to say the reason this job has been open is we're not being competitive, and here's where some suggestions I can make. I can't do that unless I know what other people are doing in the market.
Right. Well, thank you so much for taking a few moments out of the day to be with us on the air. Really appreciate your time.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.